Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, listening audience. Thank you for tuning in to Talk Straight and being a part of a national dialogue designed for proactive change. This is your host, Reverend Dr. Reuben Dockery. I'm grateful again to engage each and every one of you in very important conversation. I need your help as I endeavor to take this message and the conversation we share on air to targeted cities and urban areas across America with the hope and desire to improve the quality of lives by engaging communities and proactive strategies. You can be of great help by going to our webpage, www.bfcinstitute.com. Click on the donation tab or the contact us tab and find ways that you can assist us by either purchasing our items or just making a donation on our secure PayPal site. If you are a business or someone who would like to make a corporate level contribution and you would like more information, please give me a call at 615-498-4669 or send me an email at bfcinstitute@gmail.com. That's bfcinstitute@gmail.com, or give us a call at 615-498-4669. We are glad to share with you and provide you all the necessary information to help you make the decision to support us in our traveling lecture series. Well, son, I tell you, life for me ain't been no crystal stair. It's had tacks in it and splinters and boards torn up and places with no carpet on the floor bare. But all the time I's been a-climbing on and reaching ladders and turning corners, sometimes going in the dark where there ain't been no light. So boy, don't you turn back. Don't you set on the steps, 'cause you find it's kinda hard. Don't you fall now, for I still going, honey. I still climbing, and life for me ain't been no crystal stair.
That everybody has to get back in rotation with us. We've been on a little hiatus for a few months, but we're back. And we endeavor to air Tuesday nights. We're going to do something a little bit different on Thursdays, that being we're going to focus on family protections relative to securing your families and what have you, their financial, social, and emotional support and needs. So it's going to be a slightly different format than our Tuesday night where we have open dialogue. But we're grateful to have tonight our good friend, Pastor Ricky Waller, joining us again. Welcome, sir. How are you?
Hey, now, I'm all right. Pastor Doctor, how you doing, man?
All right, good. Good to hear from you again there, my friend.
Pleasure's all mine.
Yes, sir. And I want to encourage our listening audience to give us a call. Facebook, if you're following us, give us a call here at new number. You know, you step away just for a second, things change on you fast. I mean, my goodness. New number, 563-999-3617. That's the number to call into the studio here tonight. Again, that's 563-999-3617. Love to engage you and speak with you. We're just going to have a open conversation. My good friend is here with us. And as you know, he and Pastor Lomax are going to be working together with me next weekend. And our focus is not just on the traditional holiday of Father's Day, right? But we're talking about long-term, all year round, the importance and the need of fatherhood. Hence our discussion tonight, dig in a little bit deeper on fatherhood in action. What does that look like, and what does it mean? Are they just buzzwords to make you look good, to get attention, or does it have significance? I would argue with you all day and all night, it's got plenty of significance, right? But it's no better than what we make it. And I'm going to make that personal and say it's no better than what I make. Hey there, Atlanta, Georgia, Miss Robertson, wish you can join us here. Give us a call here, 653-999-3717. We'd love to have you. Just tune in. Get your wonderful husband. He's on the battlefield as well in regards to this. Pastor Waller, I'm glad that you keep me accountable. You know what I mean by that?
What's that?
When we first brought this to your attention and I shared with you what the vision of Pastor Lomax, you were very clear, as you always are. Listen now, I don't play with this stuff about just Father's Day. And you made it very clear that this is not something that's restricted to one time of the year. And when we look at the plight of young people, young men in particular, we see how serious it is and how drastic of a need there is for us to be focused and deliberate about being fathers, not because somebody's looking, but it's what God called us to do. I just wondered if you don't mind telling us a little bit about that. I know you talked about your own experience and how, you know, for you, it was a very different thing. And you often do that. That's your – but I wonder if you just wanted to chime in on that just for a second. In 2023, Pastor, how do you see the – where do you see the need for all of us, right, as men to comport ourselves in a way that we can be the fathers that perhaps a young man don't have right now because he's locked up, maybe he's deceased, maybe he's strung out on drugs, maybe he's never seen you before, don't know you exist. I don't know what the circumstance is. It really doesn't matter because there is a word from God. What about it, Pastor Waller?
Well, you're covering a lot of ground right there, Pastor Doctor, and it's interesting because, you know, most fathers, you know, they happen to be great examples. You know, they have a position in life, and then you have the son, and most sons are like imitators of the father. And, you know, the father's leading the right way, you know, the son is definitely going to be all right.
That's
but
right.
In my case, you know, I wasn't a great father when it come down to bringing up my kids because of the lifestyle I once lived. And in the latter part of my life, you know, I was able to bring up my daughter by myself, you know, with a little help from those that was able to assist. But in the midst of that one particular day, you know, it's like a form of unintentional disrespect. That's the only time I can acknowledge, you know, my father. It wasn't intentional or anything like that. But the good news is that they used to say things, and I used to hear things from those in the area, in the community, talking about raising a child. You know, it takes a village. I used to hear that. to raise a child. So if kids don't have a father and there are situations and circumstances, issues that you just made known of that could occur easily, and they have no one that they can talk to, or no father figure, then they got to do the best they can with what they have. Well, I've experienced that. And in your case, I mean, you have your son and daughter, you brought them up well, and they had both parents in the household, and that was a great thing. And you still have a compassionate heart, you know, to reach out for those who does not have a father. And so what you're seeking to do and you strive to do is interesting, that a person can find out the value of what fatherhood is all about and how can I be able to make a difference in one's life that may be captured in some of the things that I used to do. Well, I have experience in it, and you yourself have some great experiences in how to conduct yourself, which is valuable. And I would say, you know, even my father, he didn't hang out with me. He didn't do things with me, anything. Not that he was against me, because we were real tight.
Okay. Oh,
I mean, and I was very athletic in my come up. He never knew anything about it. He never seen me play ball of no kind. I didn't have sense enough to ask him to come, because he and my mother, they were divorced. So he's going on with his life, he's going on with hers. And most of the guys I grew up with, parents were divorced. And had a few of them that stayed the course, and I always appreciate knowing that. But for a minute, I thought maybe divorce was the going thing.
Right.
So that kind of led me down the avenue. That led me down the avenue, not even thinking about even getting married or anything, because that's not going to work, I can tell, for the most part. But anyway... So my father and I, again, being real, real close, because I could go out to his house, and his wife was very much respectful to me at all times, actually had big-time love for me, and just like I had for them, likewise, man. But still, I can still remember, you know, a friend of mine, him and I went to school together, and he said to my father, he seen him one day, he didn't know that my father was working at this particular store. Actually, he was running the store. And a friend of mine happened to go in the store where my father was, and I just happened to be over there to see him.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, it's in my book. His name is Arnold Morris. It's the guy I went to school with. And he was telling my father about how good I was with basketball.
Is that right?
And the way he told him that, man, and what he said, you probably thought he didn't like me.
Mm.
But he meant no harm when he said it. Even though he said it, he didn't mean no harm. I know he didn't. I was telling him how good I was with the ball, how I could play so well. And my dad told him, oh, he can't do nothing. You know. And that right there, man, had I just asked him to come and see me play. So I don't blame him. I actually blame myself, because I didn't care nothing about how good I was. It didn't faze me. I wasn't thinking about it. I'm a great ball player. So I never asked him to come and see me play. So it wasn't his fault. And I said in my book, I said, if he had seen me play one time, maybe I would have went down a different avenue, because that's how much he really actually cared about me. He may have done what he, you know, would have seen in me doing, would have done something about it, like I'm getting ready to get this boy in college or something like that.
Okay.
But anyway, nevertheless, that's what fatherhood to me is. Maybe somebody around out in the world right now that's like that, man, just needs somebody to encourage them and to just lead them in the right direction. So that's what fatherhood is to me. That's why I don't get with just that that one day thing. It's a sad case, but joyful for many. And
Makes sense. Right, mm-hmm. That makes sense when you think about what you're saying and how you laid it out, that it should not be diminished to just one day and when somebody can make money, right? But I think you said something that is very key there, Pastor. And that is, there was a disconnect between you and your father in terms of understanding what your hopes and dreams were and even what his hopes and dreams were for you. You saw, obviously, you saw one another, right? You were in the store with him. He was working there. He was some sort of figure in your neighborhood or your community, but there was a disconnect, you know? And there are a lot of good people who face that same type of thing culturally, because the Afro-American subculture, I would argue, has not fully took control over defining what fatherhood is, what it means to be a man, right? A husband, a father. I like to talk about that. I like to talk about five key aspects of becoming a father. Then we can understand better what fatherhood is, that state of being. Are you with me? You don't mind that, do you, Brother Peter, if I do that?
No, not at all.
Yeah. And for the sake of our listening audience, if you're listening, and you can feel free to call in, we're going to be here for about another 45 minutes or so tonight. But for the sake of our listening audience and the sake of understanding, I'd like to talk about five aspects of becoming. This is not an automatic thing. It's not just like a cow or a horse or a dog that procreate with another female and gets it impregnated and bring an animal in the world. We all animal. Yes, sir. But we are a higher level of animal because we have the ability to think, to reason, and to move further than those other lower species or forms of animals. Nonetheless, Pastor, what my father, and I love him, rest his soul, you know, meant the world to me. But in his last days, he admitted that there were some things he missed out on. Lived 87 years. He admitted that there were some things that if he had known better, that if his father would have taught him, he would have been a better man. And that's what you're saying.
Mm-hmm.
What does that mean? That means that knowing that, we have an opportunity to break a cycle. It's not about pointing the finger of blame, right? Not even about punishing anybody, really. But it's about understanding how to break that cycle of fatherlessness. Because that has a tremendous impact on the growth and development of both males and females. All right, now we'll get into that engagement with the female counterpart, with woman. That's another discussion. But tonight I want to stay focused on this because we want to understand fatherhood in action. This coming June 16th through the 18th, Lord willing, we being myself, Pastor Waller and Pastor David Lomax, Pastor of Mount Sinai Covenant Presbyterian Church, and Pastor Waller, as you know, is a co-host here, and he is the pastor of New Way Outreach Ministries and author, two-time author, on the very, very, very important topic of turning things around, and in his own words, the flip side of things, showing the flip side of things from a life of degradation, destruction, and despair to one of hope, upliftment, right? Put words in his mouth. He right there. Y'all talk to the man. He right there. No, but sure enough, in our dialogue, we'll get there. So let me just go ahead. The number to call is 563-999-3617. You call in, we'll talk to you. But give me a second. Let me try to put this together. These five aspects of becoming, and I'm intentional about saying becoming. It's important to understand you don't just grow. You're not born a father. You are born something,
okay,
but you're not born a father. Are you with me? You're not even born a man. I'll mess you up now. You ain't even born a boy, but you are born a male. You're born a male. And what is a male? It is a biological human with masculine reproductive organs, excuse me. In other words, they're capable of reproducing life, another cycle of life. You have masculine reproductive organs. God made it that way. He wasn't playing. It wasn't no mistake either. He was intentional about that thing. Okay? But this male is in darkness. In the Greek word, the exilio, where there's no light, there's no conscious, no vision. And that's why this little male baby, infant, when it comes in the world, needs somebody to feed it, to hold it, to hug it, nourish it, keep it warm, and sustain it until it's able to do more for itself. It don't even know how to eat. Oh, intuitively, it can swallow or chew. If you put too much on it, it don't know how to manage that. You can kill it. Huh? And over time, it learns how to crawl, how to grow, and how to walk, right? And it even observes other people's behaviors, and it learns how to talk. Y'all with me? Now, but is this male ready for the world, if you will? No. Over time, chronologically, in numbers and years, it grows to be a boy. What is the main characteristic of a boy? That's somebody that's grown enough, 37 to 2, but hadn't grown enough to understand. They're starting to be independent in their movement. They can run, huh? They can even hide. Their little mind plays tricks on them, make them think they understand things. And all they seek is instant gratification. Young, dumb, always look. Some of what? Whatever that makes them feel good. That's the nature of a boy. Now, without proper guidance and instruction, this boy can self-destruct. In my manual that I wrote back in 2006, I described it as the Mandarin warrior phase, where they become cocky and naive. And depending on what kind of instruction example they have, that can be positive or that can be negative. Are you with me? So this boy continues to live and grows more chronologically in years. Now, will he become a man? Uh-oh. That's the question right there. Oftentimes, people assume that because he has facial hair, and if you lift his arm up, he can knock you out without a musk up on him. And he got a little face in his 47 to 2. Huh? And he got a little swag on him when he walks. Yeah. Hey, girl, what's up? That's assumption there. That's a man right there. But guess what? Oftentimes, without pro-social instruction, they're still grappling with understanding how to manage their bodies, their emotions, their drives, and you see them break grown, look acting like a little baby, to the point you can literally be 20, 25 years old, functional, social, emotional, on the level of 10 or 15 years old. Anybody ever seen that before? All right, we're going to get to it. I'm trying to fix this up, and I'm 37-2, I think I'm going to bring you in just a second. So we got this male, biological being, born with the capability eventually to reproduce. And now you got this boy. His hormones have grown from oogenia to spermatozoid, sperm cells. At 13 years old, 12 sometimes, but typically 12, 13 years old, he's capable now of reproducing life. All he needs is another human female. He can be his age or twice his age. As long as he's fertile, he can reproduce. Does he really understand that? Not really. We're going to get to the need for fatherhood and action before we go. Y'all walk with me. All right. We have man. And what makes him a man? You trying to suggest that I ain't no man? Well, what makes a man? The identifying characteristics that distinguish a boy from a man, and I don't care how chronologically old it is. Are y'all with me? But the one thing that distinguishes is the assumption of responsibility for everything within his domain. I don't care if all he owns is a cardboard box and a pair of Michael Jordan shoes. As long as he's responsible, he demonstrates it's a demonstrative effort on the part of this male who's been a boy now to become a man. Does that mean you're ready and you know everything? No, but it means you're prepared to assume responsibility. So if you happen to get attention from sons, young ladies, and y'all do grown folks stuff, you understand and you're prepared to make the sacrifice, huh? Take care of your own behavior and your own actions. Now, this is where, when I said earlier, culturally, my position as a social scientist. I'm getting a little feedback from somebody in the background. If you could see what you can do about it. But within the context of the Afro-American community, it's important, it's prevalent, it's necessary that we define parameters of manhood and fatherhood. Now, I hope you understand now, just making a baby don't make you a father. You're a progenitor. You're a male progenitor, right? But it's the responsibility that makes you a father. Now, there's another step biblically to reaching that August stage. Now, I'm going to tell you, y'all may not agree, but call in and talk to me about it. But there's another step that involves reaching that August state of being a father. That's a divine position because you act just like Jehovah Elohim, the Lord God. When he made man capable of recycling himself, that's a spiritual thing. In between that, the demonstration of commitment as a man who is procreating is when you become a husband. Uh-oh, what's your husband? What's the husband? What's the thing about the husband? To be a husband is to make a commitment with a woman that you're going to what? Be one, particularly in this case, in bringing offspring into the world. Y'all see where we're going? We come in here a male. We grew into a boy. We morphed into a man. And before we got to be a father, if that ain't the father, I'm sorry. I agree with you, Pastor Waller. Let's not throw that word around loosely. So that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem right there. There are some people who haven't learned how to be a man because they ain't learned to be responsible yet. I say that with all due respect. And, beloved, if you want to get better, we can. But we got to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help us, God. All right? It's that husband or that thing in between where you make a commitment. Just go, yeah, I told my own son, Pastor Wallace, 37, too. You ain't got no business up in nobody's face, man. You ain't talking about nothing. James Brown said you're talking loud, you ain't saying nothing. What's on your mind? What you talking about? Where you trying to go? Yeah, that's one of the things I have about cheating and this whole idea about having multiple relationships. You're lying to folk you can't on just like a little old boy. Huh? You ain't even true to your own self. Go sit down. All you think about is making yourself good. What about them who believe? Okay, that's what I'm saying. We reach fatherhood when, beloved, we're in a position where we are replicating the will of God. He created you, male and female, with the ability to reproduce life. The Bible says in Genesis 1, and 26, God made man in his own likeness and image. Is that right? Male and female made he them. And that was the one man. You got to understand that a key part to manhood is assuming the responsibility, acknowledging that fact. When you procreate life, you become a father who spiritually is leading your wife and your children, your offspring, in the presence of God on earth. That's fatherhood. That's what's missing. Malachi, the 4th chapter, the 6th verse says, "He shall return the hearts of the fathers back to the children, and the hearts of the children back to the fathers. Unless I smite the earth with a curse." I'm convinced that that's what's going on in 2023. We're out of the will of God. That's where we ought to be working on getting. I know, I think I'm cute at 37 too. But guess what? I'm going to tell the truth on Monday. I ain't begging. I'm begging. Have I got a witness at 37 too?
I didn't say that.
I'm kind of cute, but I ain't that cute. You understand what I'm saying?
Know, I'll, can't I'll let you you decide that.
That can't nobody. You understand what I'm saying? Everybody got a drop to my stick. Okay, all right. Let me open up the floor. The number is 563-999-3617. I know I said that laughingly, but we're serious about this process. And I pass along, I think that's one of the real issues when we glorify, we glamorize it, and we monetize the concept of being a father. We're not in that divine state because preachers, that's the Holy Ghost, daddy, everybody else, hadn't taught folks. That's how you get there, see? It's a divine state. That's what makes you look good. You can be tore from the floor, but as long as you're doing God's will, you look real good. Huh? And you're working on something. Let me be quiet and get here from y'all. What you think about that? Pastor, do you mind if I let 37 do? She said she ain't going to say it, but I you know, tell the truth and say it myself. 37 too, what about?
Man.
What about, what question in particular? What?
This general notion that there is a process to becoming a father. Not automatic at age.
Well, I agree that there is a process. Oftentimes, the process is skipped, and, yeah, people jump right to becoming a father and fatherhood and not living up to, you know, what it all entails. They just take on the title, kind of, so to speak. Yeah, but I totally agree that one must become a, or should become a man first, you know, and that you can be a mature man at 18, 20, 21, you know, as long as you've had the proper guiding. Now, wisdom is something else, but I'm just talking as far as fundamentals go, being mindful, being respectful, being responsible, being committed, being loyal to, you know, all of those things that I think make up a whole rounded male or man.
Okay. I want to say that there are some good people who mean well that don't have the knowledge. And if you don't know how to know something, you don't know about it, right? And
right.
I would argue that all these decades, all these years, as I mentioned about my own father, he was, you know, before he passed, he let me know. He recognized me. That was a misleading.
Right.
You know, his father taught him how to work hard. At 6 years old, he taught him to hitch a mule to a plow and to work hard so that you can have a place to live and take care of your family.
Right.
He knew how to do it. But does that mean you know how to treat a woman or how to be loving and caring toward your children? Not necessarily.
No. No, I agree. That doesn't mean that. And sometimes, you know, a man will think, hey, the more money he can produce and bring in, then the more gives him a reason to celebrate by himself, if you know what I mean, with someone else even. So, no, that doesn't just mean that. But, again, like I was trying to point out, being well-rounded and being responsible is
absolutely
highly important and helpful for a child, for a son, or a daughter.
Sure. Pastor, you want to jump in here, big brother?
Well, I'm listening to Brother 72, and I appreciate all the things that you're saying here. How you doing, Brother 72?
I'm doing good, Pastor. Struggling a little bit tonight, but I'm going to make it.
That's all right. You're sounding good going at it. Just keep going.
All right.
Yeah, but I really actually was thinking about being able to adapt to being a young man, and that's what I was thinking about when she said that with the proper training and coming up, you know, having the right ammunition to apply that, to be able to have that gentleman inside of a young person would be great. And just so happened, the power of being lured from that could cause a person not to even willing to apply something like that. That's a very unique thing to learn. I mean, 17, 18 years of age, being a young man, character, you would land up with the order of what it takes to be a young man versus finding out later on. You know, even though sometimes it's some get that sooner than others, but it would be great to be more young again, becoming versus not at all, because we end up locked up, shot down, all the things that's going on right about now. So it goes back to that, what the father here is all about. How can a person get that fine connection like him with Pastor Doctor to his son? I mean, not to mention his father as well, but his son. You know, it's like he had a father that was guiding him in the right direction. And that, to me, is the plus, man. To be able to have that, that's what would make this world a better place. Most young brothers today is coming up without a father for various reasons. And it's just great to hear that there is still hope, in other words. So that's where I'm at. I just about that 17, 18 year old young brother. They stood out when you said something about that third person. So that's the strive. Get them right young, position them in a way where they can carry themselves like that. Because I was the person that didn't get a chance to apply that, you know. Because they're quick snatch up by the enemy, you know, he come to do what he does best. He's trying to devour someone, thinking we may get permission to do that with. And I gave him permission to devour me, and all of a sudden it's like, okay, he don't have no father to lead him, then I'll lead him. And that's what happened.
Well, Pastor, what's important to understand is it doesn't make you a bad person not to know and to need to know, right? I believe that many times male pride gets in the way. Chronologically grown male pride prevents many of us from gaining the knowledge and the support even among one another. Some of us don't know how to look at one another and show love, respect. See, you want to understand how it's easy for a young boy to take a weapon and take another life? Somehow they've been socialized to that it's okay to justify my desire, my feelings, my needs, and place that above the sanctity and the quality of another human life. I mean, you look at some of the incidents that are going on the street, and you ask, well, what made you do that? You know, what was so serious? He disrespected me, violated me. Who are you? You understand what I'm saying? It's certainly to the point that, okay, you remember the day, Pastor Wally, you get in a fight with somebody, you go toe-to-toe, throw a few knuckles. Well, if you get your behind, well, you hurry up and run and go sit down, don't you? And the next day, what y'all doing? What y'all doing the next day?
That's what we're supposed to do, playing and acting like kids.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah.
Right.
But we live to see another day. That's what it's all about. We live to see another day.
Right.
That's right.
That's it. And see, this whole idea that I got to destroy you before you destroy me, something the devil, the enemy, has planted in the head sociologically. Some folks have been socialized to believe that the person that looked like you, that mirrors you, grew up in the same neighborhood as you, huh? Went to the same school as you. When y'all walked in the schoolhouse together, somebody passed gas in front of you. That's just how close you grew up together with one another. Something intimate that made you think that you are justified in destroying that individual just so that you can survive.
Now,
this is what we're talking about, fatherhood in action. We need righteous men. And I'm not just talking those talk. Before you open your mouth, folks ought to see the righteousness of God about you. Help me, Holy Ghost. And I don't mean you got to be no preacher or no pastor. You don't have to wear no necktie to do that. Have I got to witness somebody? I told 37 too. I look good, but I ain't that cute. I mean, you can ask my wife.
Well, as long as she believes, that's all, you know.
There you go. The point is that it's not about that. What is most important is that when the opportunity presents itself for you to be a pillar, to be a light, to be an example, can you do that? Can you do that? I went into I'm a vegetarian, but I was going to buy some lunch for someone else recently, and it was Popeye's, Pat Swallow, and I'm standing there waiting, and it was a long line. And this little young man came in. I can tell he worked there because he had on a little T-shirt, a little uniform. And apparently he got there early and he was going to get him some food before he went to work. Long line of people. And back in the back, they just hustling, trying to keep up with him. So the lady said, I need you to come on back here. He acted like he didn't hear. And at first, 37, I said, I ain't going to say nothing. That ain't none of my business. But the man in me helped me, Holy Ghost. Wouldn't let me just sit there and not say nothing to him. I said, did you hear what she said? So he said, I don't get on to another 30 minutes. I said, but she needs you back there, man. I'm hungry. I ain't need that. I said, tell you what, take this $10. I'm buying your lunch today. You may get a little late, but that's okay. And you know what he did, 37 too? He had a conscience. He went back there, clocked in, put his little head on, and started helping him. I said, when I come here one day,
a lot of these people are looking like they don't have consciences.
Yeah, well, he's a young fella. He's a teenager, 15, 16, 17 years old. You understand? I told him, look, when I come here one day, you're going to be running this place or owning your own business because you learn how to make a sacrifice when it counts. My point is, like many folk, I could have said, I ain't going to say nothing to that little young dude. I may have to do something to him. No. If you don't say nothing, you may have to do something to him. You with me? This is what fatherhood is. Now, these young cats around here with guns, the guns is what give them their confidence. Huh? One scared, the other one's glad he's scared. Go ahead, Pastor. What were you going to say?
No, I'm just saying, it happens like that. Confidence comes when some people have, a piece of, I would call a piece of iron. When it's not iron sharpening iron, it's iron getting ready to do harm.
Right.
And it makes their confidence never rise up.
Yeah.
Two things that will make you confident, Pastor. When you get a little idiot oil and that liquor get in you, and you ain't thinking right, that'll make you overcome. Huh? And then you got your little weapon on, you think you Billy Bad then. Boy, can't nothing do to you. But everybody got a pistol. That's what the song said. Then all of another cat got to do is catch you slipping. And it's on like Donkey Kong. See what I mean? And so this whole idea that we all got to be ready to go to war with one, especially in the black community, black neighborhood. Why are you talking about black people, Doc? Because I've been black 3 times. I was born a black baby, grew up a black boy, and I'm a black man in America. I hope you don't hate me for it. But I know something about being black. about being a male, being a boy, becoming a man, being a husband, and a father. That's what I'm talking to you about. Fatherhood and action. That's what we're talking to. It's important that we do this in a loving way, in a way that does not put anybody down. See what I mean? My hope, Pastor Wallace, that some brothers come by and just sit in. They ain't have to say nothing. Just sit in with us. Observe. You understand what I'm saying? Because even there is a learning opportunity. Even then, there's a learning opportunity. But what's necessary is that we got to get past the fear that something may happen to me. It kind of reminds me of the story of the Good Samaritan, where he found this man beat up and tore up on the road. They done beat him up and almost near death. And these Pharisees, Pastor, big-time preacher, jet-lagged, Mercedes-Benz, medallions around their neck with crosses. They were so busy that they didn't have time to stop, help this man. He wasn't like us. He ain't with us. He ain't with our set. He ain't like us. He a Samaritan. Huh? Come on, somebody. But a stranger, stranger saw this man in a destitute circumstance. And I can imagine in my sanctified imagination, he said to himself, but for God, that could be me. Let me help this brother. Let me help this brother. Mm-hmm. And he didn't just do it, Pastor, for the limelight, but he gave his own money. So I'm taking care of this man. If it ain't enough, when I get back, I hook you up. Are you with me?
Yeah.
How many brothers can be fathers like that? That's a father. That's a father's mentality right there. If you hurt, I hurt. You're without, I'm without. Now, sometimes you may have to catch me, Pastor Waller, and don't do it in front of 3072, but take me around the back and pop me upside the head. Say, don't do that to you. Ain't that the brother here, right? Okay. Don't do it in front of me.
That would be a little odd to well, yeah.
That's why I told you don't do it in front of me. We don't want to disturb us, but I might need that from you, man. Huh?
Yeah, I would look at you both very differently.
Listen, 3072, because what you don't realize is what you don't see is when I'm about to go off on a deep end anyway.
That's right. That's right.
And somebody need to grab me. Somebody need to grab me and pull me in. And then, you know, what Pastor do, he just said, when you come around, he just said, hey, he all right. He started fixing.
No, but, you know, we just missed a very good point I was making up, even with that little funny story. You know, and that's exactly what's going on. So I was looking at you guys as being two kings, and one king is slapping the other one upside the head. But actually, that's what needs to happen. That's what needs to happen.
Well,
man, a king is just a king. He's but a man, right? So they all fall short. We all fall short. And when we do, we need somebody that's going to stand in and help us to fall, to stand tall.
Make a stand. Yeah.
Oh,
you know, the Old Testament discusses setting covenant with your brother. And the whole idea is that you walk in agreement. The Bible says, how can you walk? Come on, help me, brother preacher. Except what?
Right.
They both what? Agree. All this stuff about you got yours, I got mine, you over there.
Right.
You know.
Right.
That dog will not hunt. And that's one of the reasons we have so much breakdown and separatism, even in our theological thought and ideas. I don't know what I'm talking about. See, we're talking about fatherhood in action right now. This is what, and I believe that 3072, when our sisters see brothers like Pastor Wall and I walking in agreement, we may not see eye to eye on everything, but we agree we got to put our backs together for what? Our community.
Right.
For our
people. To be done.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, he got all the cookies. He got you before I got there. That made me mad, Pastor Well. And I got to tell you, Pastor, you should have left that cookie for me, man. But guess what? I'm going to get over it. You better watch it tomorrow. I'm going to so you don't get the nasty cookie tomorrow. And I'll break it in half. How about we'll break it in half?
But you made it through the day. You got to find ways to know how to make it through the day.
Absolutely.
And then tomorrow, you know what I mean, take care of itself. And that's the thing. That's what we haven't been able to do. And when you see these brothers on the run after they have gunned down somebody, you know, that says that they're not able to just recognize if I just had walked away, I could have lived another day. Without being on the run. You know, they're struck out, and now they got to run from themselves and all of that. You know, it's a sad case, but that's what's been happening.
I can tell y'all from experience that when I worked as a correction officer in the prison, I mean, some of the best talent I ever saw in my life was locked up behind bars. Brilliant.
I can believe it was. Yeah.
Brilliant, man. Locked up, man. In fact, I went to Fisk, and I still owe them some money now. We probably paid off Fisk and my graduate degree. But anyway, I got me a history degree from Fisk University, and this brother in the back in the 90s, man, he walked me through history. And who is this cat right here, boy? He's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't miss a beat either, Pastor. But guess what?
Okay.
He paid for 60 years without the possibility of parole.
Wow.
No, man. My goodness.
You understand what I'm saying? This cat would be dangerous out on the street. What if we had him under our tent with us this coming weekend, Pastor? He'd be dangerous, wouldn't he?
Hey, man. You know, opportunities like that, you know, that moment could make a difference in a person's life. Because the decision that one makes and the cause that to take place, if it can be prevented, I would say, if you can present something to the person that would cause it to be prevented, that's that moment right there. You know, you present something wonderful and move something different and they can get a grip on it, and then they'll be able to, as I say, man, live another day, man. This thing is real. It's hard. You know, so many things that cause them to venture out into that trap. That trap is real.
It's a mustang. It's a mustang.
It's made for a purpose. You know, it's made for a purpose to trap you. I guess being free from the trap, I just don't want to forget that that's what it was. It was definitely a trap.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I appreciate you want to set folks free. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. Free indeed. So look, y'all.
Yeah.
Look. You didn't call me tonight. I'm gonna give you a pass on that. But check this out, Nashville, 626 40th Avenue North, where we're gonna be on Friday evening, starting from 5 o'clock until. You'll see some white tents up there. You'll hear some noise. Huh? Pastor Wallen and I'll be under there with Pastor Lomax. Come see us. And mamas, grandmamas, aunties. It was so sad. I saw on the news this poor grandmother mourning the loss of her 4-year-old granddaughter. After a night marriage, unfortunately, were responsible for her demise. And what she said was, the great-grandfather said, I got to forgive her. I got to forgive her. I know that's hard for some people to do, right? But the grandmama said, we got to teach our young men. Come on, y'all meet us under that tent. Come on over there. What's that address again? What did I say? 26 40th Avenue North. You ain't going to miss us. We're going to be making some noise on that corner. Come on over there. See us. Register your young people. We intend to have 25, but Lord willing, guess what? He'll make a way. We'll take you. You got some more. You got 2 sons? Bring them on. You got 3 sons? Don't stop. Don't hesitate. Bring them there. And we, you know, that age range between 12 and about 17 is our focal point. But we'll make the rest of it work. Y'all come on out there. Come see us. Come see us. Come see us. That's, when is that? What day is that, Pastor Wallace? What's the day and month of the year? What's that?
I know it's on a Friday. And I think
it's on a Friday. 16. June June 16th, 2023. Yeah. 5 o'clock p.m. Come on out there. Come on out there. I ain't going to be trying to look good at 37 because I know I don't look that good. I ain't that good looking. You know what I'm saying?
Okay. All right.
You ain't got to agree with 37. Don't say amen. You don't say amen on that. But, yeah, sure enough, we got about 5 more minutes before we get out of here. Final thought, guys. Give us a final thought. Fatherhood in Action, come see us. Come see us on June the 16th, 40th Avenue North. Register. Get your boys out there. We'll be talking to them. We'll be demonstrating fatherhood in action. 372, give me a final thought right quick.
Yeah, just echoing what Pastor Waller was saying about that trap. At all costs, avoid it and learn to recognize it. Think about what you're doing, and more importantly, think about the consequences that follow the decisions you
mm-hmm.
make.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I got.
Well, thank you so much.
Real
we appreciate good. Being an angel
more than
tonight and being here with us. So. All right. Our clock will run out on us here because we've got about an hour on our show tonight. So thank you, 372. Pastor Wallace, go ahead and take us home, man. Do what you do best, my brother.
Man, well said. I mean, she said it all right there. You know, she don't do things that will cause you to forget about it. There are consequences because that's what happens when young, when they see things and when they hear things, they start to do things without thinking about the consequences. So
yeah.
Now it's time to teach them what it's like to think about the consequences of what comes after you acting out and doing certain things. So we just want to encourage anyone that has kids, especially the young brothers, to be encouraged and come out. And let's find ways and means to help the situation where we won't have to be rushing to the news channel to find which channel going to come on so you can see who shot John. We're going to do all we can do to make that be something that we don't have to look forward to. What about just trying to find out what the weather is going to be like? What is the weather for tomorrow? Something like that. But anyway, we praise God for everybody who's tuned in. And for those who desire to call in, we'll look for you the next time. Because Luke chapter 1, verse 37 says, "For with God, nothing shall be impossible." So we want to stand on that and believe that if you hook up with God, you're going to see some things change in the lives of our people. I yield back to you on that note, Pastor Bachman.
All right.
Stay doing what you're doing, 372.
Thank you.
All right. Look for us again this coming Tuesday night, 7 o'clock p.m., for another episode of Talk Straight. This is your host, Zachary. We've got our co-host, Pastor Ricky Wallen, this angel out of Jacksonville, Florida, 372.
Yes.
Thank you all. We'll see you all then. Tell the story.